the next one, always on FUBAR Radio.
That was Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, what's up? This big boy, one half of the Mighty Outcast
on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. This, I was going to say, like, I want this or that in some random location, but I have not really gone more than 100 yards in a couple weeks, so I feel like that would be disingenuous of me to say. Chris Gersbeck, who is... is with me from an undisclosed look. Well, you're at home. You're in New York.
Actually, I'm not physically left my apartment in like 2 days. I really need to get out.
I am still at an undisclosed bunker in northeastern, very east northeastern Ohio. And my quarantine ended today. But I don't even know what that means in this. I haven't watched the news, literally have not seen TV in 2 weeks, which I know makes it seem like I'm cut off from things, but I still have been on the internet pretty much nonstop.
There's not really any difference.
The only thing that's been nice, I mean, of the many nice things about this whole pandemic, well, let me say the nice thing. The nice thing is that I've not seen or heard that idiot, the orange idiot, vaguely in charge person once in 2 weeks, which is
does wonders for your health.
It's amazing. I love it. I can't imagine there are many listeners who are like, Dave, come on, I love Trump, stop. He really bums me out. I do realize there are people that like me and are really but they are Trump supporters.
Get really, are you serious?
There are, it happens.
Weird.
I see it all the time on the internet. People are like, come on, man, just shut up. Stop it with the politics. You know, I don't agree with you. And then, whatever.
You know, it's like you talk about it on your personal social media, but it's like we never really talk about politics on the show. And you don't.
No, I mean, that's the thing. No, my stand-up is no. I think people, because they see what I have to say personally, that they think that like my act is like, you know, all political. But as we both know, it's just pure stupidity. Anyway, I digress. But okay, so here are my complaints about this pandemic. Aside from all the sick and dying people, which would be my main complaint, and then there's a bunch of other complaints in between. But then the thing I really hate is every time I go on Instagram to see who in the world might be paying me any sort of attention, I'm bombarded by so-and-so is going live. So-and-so is going live with this other person. I think, I don't know what help it will be to the world, but I think right now we all have to agree that you can't go live more than once a day.
Oh, yeah.
There are,
a limit.
I don't want to call anyone out, but there are people who are just non... This is their peak in life, it seems. They're just going live. Stop it. Go have a sandwich. Go talk to someone you're in self-isolation with. Stop going live. I say that as a person who will be going live like twice tonight. I've been asked to do it.
For other people's things.
Yeah, I think it's fun and good and everything, but some people just need to calm down.
Yeah.
A little bit. Only if for no other reason that I'm sick of every time it keeps going off on my phone. I'm making a list. Not when you open Instagram and Instagram, I think, just won't stop telling you.
Yeah. Bummer.
And unless it's a bunch of goats going live or puppies going live, I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's a bit much. There have been a few comedians that I've been actually really enjoying the live content with.
No, there's plenty of good. I just think there's some people whose names I see every time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane.
I feel like they're ignoring their families and they need to get their shit together. Just go live once a day. Just everything in moderation in life, including going live. So there. Anyway, I just had to get that off my chest, Chris. But I'm really excited. We'll get into this. We're going to have to talk about the guests just yet because we're getting there. Just tell me when I should start talking about that.
Okay.
How are you doing? I'm disappointed. Let me start by saying we're doing this. I can see you right now, which is unnerving. But your facial hair is growing back.
Yeah. It only takes like a week.
Well, before you looked like the boy coke dealer, and now you look like someone who's like some sort of pervert or something, like someone who like carries small like roadkill in your backpack and gets busted for masturbating on the bus.
That's pretty accurate, actually.
That's kind of the look you have right now. I say that out of love. I mean, high praise.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the right length of facial hair because I don't want to keep the full beard for health reasons.
For health? Oh, because it's full of disease.
It's supposedly really bad to have a beard when there's a pandemic.
Oh. I apologize. It was just chewing ginger. I've not revealed this to anybody, but I've started drinking a lot of ginger tea, and then I like eating the ginger that I've chopped up. Like straight up
ginger?
Like, yeah, I just cut the root, throw it in a cup, microwave it, and have at it. Well, excuse me. Part of me is like, I bet I'm curing coronavirus. Because it's supposed to be good for... you know, it's like I don't know. It's good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not sick. So though I get it, you can have coronavirus but not be sick.
Right.
Oh boy.
I read today that it's possible that coronavirus was here mid-February, before the first confirmed case, and that's exactly when I was saying on this show that I think I have coronavirus.
Oh my gosh!
I might have already had it.
Well. I mean, it's pretty nuts. I mean, they're saying also like it came from Europe on a plane or something. They don't think that Asia, I mean, they don't think it got to America directly from Asia.
Right.
What else? What other bold facts? Cats are more susceptible than dogs, which as a dog person and primarily as a dog owner, I'm thrilled to hear. Though I do feel bad to hear that about cats because I love all animals. But my brother sent me an article to sort of calm me down today about how I should not be terribly worried that Lucy is going to have it and pass it around and things like that. So
I hope not.
We are still mouth kissing.
That'll never stop.
So we have to say this. Let me just get the plugs out of the way. We should have said this right at the top. In fact, cut this out and be like, hey, it's Dave. Before we start, I just want to say that my new stand-up album, The Pride of Cleveland, which is out April 24th on 800-pound Gorilla Records, is streaming on Pandora now and for all eternity. So go today, and you can stream it entirely for free. You don't have to wait till the album's released on April 24th. There you go. And the other thing I want to say... is the debut Witch Chain album, Sons of Midwestern Darkness, is out today on all streaming and digital platforms, and you can order the CD.
Very excited about that, because I got to hear this album like a year ago, it seems like, and it's been so good. I've listened to it so many times in the past year.
Thank you. I mean, it's so weird, like, how... this always happens, like... The Witch Chain album, arguably 16 years in the making, if you go back to the original emails that, you know, eventually came out on theblackmetaldialogues.com. But then from when we decided to make the record, we started it like 2 years ago, started recording it. And it was all like, oh, let's just do this really fast. But it ended up being, honestly, the hardest record I've ever made.
Oh, wow.
Out of, okay, let's just get the stand-up albums out of the way. Two stand-up albums. One, two, three, four, about 10 musical albums that I've been a part of. Out of a dozen albums, no, I think 13 albums I've made.
Wow.
In my life. That, the Witch Taint one was hands down the hardest. The writing of it was extremely easy, but getting it done was...
It's very, very layered. There's a lot going on in each track.
There's a lot going on, and it probably didn't help that the way that we recorded it. We literally recorded 99% of it just in my living room, and in Phil's living room. And then we spent like one or two days in the studio doing drums, and then there's all sorts of other complications I won't get into.
But it's done. It's finally...
It's done.
Coming out.
And then the stand-up album, The Pride of Cleveland, which you can listen to today on Pandora and for all eternity on Pandora for free. It's going to be on Sirius Radio, Sirius XM very soon. I've been watching, Chris, have you been watching Unorthodox?
No. What's that?
It's a show on Netflix. Everyone's all Tiger King, Tiger King, which I... Did you watch? You must have watched.
Yes, I watched Tiger King immediately.
So I watched it. I kind of passed out every episode and had to go back and watch it again. But I was like, whatever, it's pretty good. When you watch it, I'm like, growing up in Ohio, you're like, yeah, I get it. Totally know these people.
Yeah.
And so and you look at it and you're like, yeah, I see where this is headed. There's almost everyone in the whole... I probably talked about this last week. I can't remember. But almost everyone on the show is some sort of addict, it seems.
You know, like, I'm so like naive, like it wasn't until like episode 5 that they mentioned that meth. They were like all doing meth, and I was like, how did I not just assume that from the very beginning?
Oh, the first scene, you go, okay, I get it, everyone but Carol Baskin and her husband is on tons of meth. Yeah. Totally get it.
And even her, she might be on something else.
She might be, her husband's not, I'll give him that, but but yeah, everybody else, and maybe the guy who sits at the table smoking a lot, and he talks like...
Oh, yeah.
He is maybe not on meth, but definitely is going to die of cancer. But anyway, so then I started watching Unorthodox, and I love that. I absolutely love it, and I don't want it to end.
All right, I'll check that out.
Okay, so I'm super excited about our guest today. Which I recorded, I apologize, without you, Chris, a couple days ago. My friend Anubhav Pal, who is a hilarious comedian and one of the best guys I've ever met. Such a great, awesome guy to hang out with and see perform. We met, actually, I can't remember if we actually met on the night that I'm going to say that we met, because we may not have. We have the same managers in the UK. So our manager, Mick Perrin Worldwide, did a showcase of all their non-UK clients, or many of them. Mm-hmm. And there's about 10 of us. It was really cool, from all over the world. South Africa, India, Australia, Italy, some of the other countries, America. But seriously, people from all over. And it's about 10 of us, and Anubhav was one of them, and he was hilarious. And I think we met in passing that night, maybe, but I honestly finished my set. Eddie Izzard was there, which was really cool. Nice. And it was this tiny little black box theater, so it was so nice for him to come. And I finished, and I just started the hammering process. But anyway, this past November, Anubhav and I did a bunch of nights together at The Stand in Glasgow, which is pretty much the best comedy club in the world by many people's... a lot of people say so, I guess is my point. But it's seriously the best... Glasgow's the best city It's like,
I've been there. It's great.
It's awesome. I want to move there. I mean, that could be a mistake. I don't know, but I love it. I love the vibe. It's like, you know, a little scrappy and rough around the edges, but the people are awesome. There's just such a good vibe and up for good times and up for comedy. So we did these shows together and they were super fun. We hung out every night. And so I talked him into doing this show. So it went a little something like this. He is, he lives in Mumbai, and his wife went to see her parents with their son, I believe. And anyway, he was home alone. He got stuck because his wife and son they tried to come back, and the police were like, no.
Oh, God.
Turn it around. They sent them, so they were back with his in-laws. And so he was home in his apartment in Mumbai, and we recorded it right before they did this big vigil in all over India. The Prime Minister of India wanted everyone to turn off the lights, all their power, and stand on their balconies with candles.
Candle, yeah.
And of course everyone's, you know, they're freaking out because they're like, well, if we do this, and then everyone turns their power back on, it's going to destroy the power grid of the entire country. So he said that then the government decided they were going to shut off power in the whole country.
Is that what happened at the end?
But he said he was still like, we don't know. Like, it still could go horribly wrong. So he's unplugged his refrigerator as a precautionary measure. I'll tell you, he reported back to me after this. So I asked him how it went after we would record it. And he said his favorite part was there was a guy out on his balcony smoking a cigarette, screaming, "Fuck you, coronavirus." And he said it was, he didn't have the heart to tell him that coronavirus is a respiratory illness.
Yeah.
And he's smoking. Whatever. Anyway, so that's a little button you can remember after you listen to our delightful conversation, which was plagued by delays because for whatever reason. And Chris, thank you for editing it.
So, oh, yeah, of course.
It sounds hopefully it's a great interview. Crazy.
I was laughing a lot during it. It's very funny.
Here we go. Okay, it's all happening now.
I mean, yes.
Okay.
We're officially talking, Dave.
This is incredible. This is, I would argue, of the many, you know, Zoom chats that are happening now all over the world, this is the most important one.
Yes. How high would you rate this Zoom chat compared to other global Zoom chats?
Oh, this is like off the charts, the best one. The other ones have all been bullshit, I think.
Because I have a very high regard for your podcast ranking system.
You know, I use a lot of metrics and just emotions, really. I let my emotions factor in pretty heavily when deciding what's best. But so you're in Mumbai right now. And what time? It's about 7:39 p.m. over there.
It's exactly 7:39 p.m. And Dave, I don't know how the United States is dealing with this. From the news stories I seem to be reading, it seems to suggest that it's not a big deal in the U.S. But in India, one of the ways we found that, you know, the best way to get rid of the disease is not to test.
Oh, yeah, that seems to be trendy here, too, is just ignore it. Wait, so are you being serious? The news in India is saying that coronavirus is not that big of a deal here?
No, sir. Even in India, where, you know, a lot of the news is filtered only for good news, they're telling us that things are pretty shit in the United States.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really... I stopped watching the news regularly about 10 days ago. But I do check in on the news, and it seems... I mean, I think, you know, granted, I'm a, you know, a hippie leftist and all that. So, but so as people would say, I guess, but you know what, we don't have any leadership here. There's no, on the federal level, we just have one idiot. And then, you know, a few people are able to chime in with something of intelligence. Aside, you know, when the idiot, the orange idiot isn't speaking, but other than that, everything is on the state level. You know, you have, you know, Governor Cuomo in New York is doing, I think he's, you know, the biggest leader in the country right now.
I've been listening to some of Andrew Cuomo's speeches, and it's definitely, you know, his speeches and then him and his brother doing like small comedy routines, and they've been quite outstanding. In fact, infinitely better than anything I've said in the professional comedy realm. But I just want to also want to bring you up to speed on what India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi has been up to. Just so you know, maybe in a pandemic, an orange idiot is a better option. So our Prime Minister is quite an Indian guy. And
you said he's quite an Indian guy?
He knows that he's quite... he's definitely quite an Indian guy as India's Prime Minister.
Okay.
But he's also quite an intelligent guy.
Oh, okay. I apologize. The Zoom, there's a hiccup. And I couldn't hear what you said, and it sounded like you said he's quite an Indian guy. And I thought you were saying like I was waiting for what was next. I didn't know what you meant by that. He's an intelligent guy, you said.
But listen, that's also he's an intelligent guy for a specific reason. And also, David, that's also a lot of people don't know this about the Indian Prime Minister, but he's also an Indian guy.
Well, yeah, I mean. That would I would guess that. It would be weird if you had like an Irish guy in charge over there. Just be a weird choice.
Correct. So, you know, but you know where the world is going, David. Who knows, right? We may soon have an Irish leader, but as of now, Narendra Modi is an intelligent guy. But his way of dealing with the virus is a bit different. He knows there is no cure to the virus. He knows we're doing no testing. He knows India has 1.3 billion people who live in pretty appalling third world infrastructure. A large percentage of people live in appalling third world infrastructure. So if there was an outbreak here, there is no way in hell he would be able to control it, right?
Yeah, it seems. It seems like a rough situation, potentially.
Yeah. So what exactly? So what he has people doing is he has these nationwide events. So the day the lockdown started, he had the whole country. Or he announced that the whole country should come to their windows at 5 o'clock in the evening and bang on pots and pans and other crockery and cutlery.
Okay. How did that go?
Several youths, David, several teenage youths.
Oh, I don't like where this is headed.
Were injured in the incident.
How were they injured?
They were found high on opiates, banging plates against their own head.
Oh wow, I did not see that coming. I have to say, I thought you were going to say they fell off a balcony or though this is kind of I think, an insight into my own psyche. I, as soon as you said, like, pots and pans and teens, I thought, oh, well, they're throwing pots of piss out the window. That's definitely what's happening. But that's probably just more, really says a lot about me more than anything else. Well, so do they have to be hospitalized for the head injuries?
Yes, a bunch of young people were hospitalized. And, you know, David, probably was some urinating involved. So you could have accidentally made an astute observation about how semi-urban India behaves just from your private deprivations.
Well, yeah. I mean, anytime I do make an astute observation, it's definitely accidental. But, that was my just feeling is, you know, you get a bunch, enough people and enough pots standing on balconies, you're going to get bodily fluids flying. That just stands to reason. I have to say, you know, seeing the footage.
I was just going to add, I think you've understood India very well, even before visiting.
I can't wait to visit. I know I threatened you with this via email. But when this is all over, I'm coming. It might even just be a one-way ticket to Mumbai. And I'm just going to stay in your guest room until you throw me out, basically. Now, you guys are...
Well, basically, our guest room has been vacated for you, David. I had my cousin living there, but he's been injured in a pots and pans accident. So that room is free now.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man, sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself, and I'm Morgan Rhodes, and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Hey, everyone, it's I, John Hodgman of the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
And I, Elliot Kalin of the Flophouse podcast.
And we've made a whole new podcast, a 12-episode special mini-series called iPodius, in which we recap, discuss, and explore the very famous 1976 BBC miniseries about ancient Rome called I, Claudius. We've got incredible guests such as Gillian Jacobs, Paul F. Tompkins, as well as star of I, Claudius, Sir Patrick Stewart, and his son, non-Sir Daniel Stewart.
Don't worry, Dan, you'll get there someday.
iPodius is the name of the show. Every week from MaximumFun.org for only 12 weeks. Get them at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
So did you go out on the balcony and bang pots yourself?
So I have a lot of ceramic pots and pans because I have a friend who is a I have a couple friend who do pottery.
Oh,
so
nice.
all of my pots and pans are pots and pans that would actually break, and I'm living alone, so I'd have nothing to eat. I'd A, have nothing to eat, and B, nothing to eat them on.
Okay, so this is a risky prospect. You can't do that. So you were talking about this because we were all on, I'll probably say this in the intro, but you and I share global representation, and we're on a Zoom chat with a bunch of our fellow comedians and management and all that. And so you're married and you have a kid, but they are elsewhere. So you're just bachelor partying it up all the time, or just a bachelor party of one.
Well, a fantastic incident happened, Dave. My wife traveled to visit the in-laws because my in-laws were not well, and my father-in-law had a slight cold. So my wife said, I'm going for a couple of days to see them. And so she went to see them, which is in another part of Mumbai. And then the lockdown happened and she got into her car and was driving back. But the police stopped her and said, where are you going? She said, I'm going back home to be with my husband. And they said, that's not an essential service.
Wow, that's a real judgment on your marriage. I'm sorry. Wait, and then where is your son? Is she with him?
Yes. So my son and my wife are with my in-laws. And also, I was traveling. So I was in the United States for a show. I was in San Francisco. In fact, we had a conversation, if you remember. I got an Instagram message from you saying, I feel we're on the same soil.
Yes. We have that connection. What were you, immediately, like, we're talking about, you know, the global horrors, the pandemic, and, but as soon as you said you had a gig in San Francisco, I immediately shifted to my jealous comedian mode and thought, like, wait, why wasn't I at that gig? What gig were you doing?
In fact, you were sorely missed at this gig because, Dave, it was a gig for software millionaires of Indian origin who wanted an Indian comedian to do jokes on software inventions that Indian origin millionaires have made in Silicon Valley. And the first person I could think of was my friend Dave Hill.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically taunting me by, I mean, that's my sweet spot, as you know.
Correct. They told me the only reason they hired me was because you had some sort of a music gig, and they said, this is an Indian software jokes-related event. We were trying to reach out to Dave, but he was busy, and he told us to go fuck ourselves. That he's moved on to cloud computing. He doesn't.
This is really hard to hear, but you know, it's not far off. Now I'm like, I'm really struggling. I'm trying to think of computer jokes and my limited knowledge of, Desi stuff that would have combined for a really great 45-minute set easily, but. You know, am I even getting that right? If I would have, Desi software jokes, does that make sense?
That makes complete sense. That's exactly what they were after. They wanted basically Indian software jokes. And they know that that was your sweet spot, Dave. But apparently you told them that you had moved on to cloud computing.
Oh man. Wait, so could I have been I just all night would have been like, "Hey, my auntie doesn't understand her external hard drive." Would that have been a good opening line?
Where were you when I needed you on the 29th of February, Dave? I needed this joke. My opening line bombed. I needed this joke.
I would have walked out there and I said, like, hey, my auntie is still on DOS. Who's with me?
See, the reason that joke is brilliant is that it works at three different levels. Because, of course, DOS is a computer language, but DOS is also an Indian last name.
I know. This is, and then I would have, at one point, I would have interrupted right in the middle of my set. I would have said, Mr. Singh, your car is double parked. And then the whole place would have emptied out.
I think there were at least 50 Singhs there.
See, this is...
With 50 double parked cars.
This is... it's killing me just how natural... It's like how good I am of this specific genre of jokes. It's like a form of autism almost, how easily I can rattle off the jokes.
You were missed at this event, Dave, because let me tell you how lame my first joke was.
Let's hear it.
I started with, hey, how many people here from South India? And a lot of people raised their hands because South India tends to be a part of the country where a lot of software engineers migrate to the United States. So I said, how many from South India? And lots of people raised their hands. And I said, hey, wouldn't you guys love the, I bet I know how you spend all your time. You spend all your time when you go back to India digging a tunnel in Bangalore so it comes out on the other end at Silicon Valley. And nobody found it amusing, Dave.
That's strong. I mean, it's no Mr. Singh, your car is not parked, but it's pretty good. I mean, there's probably like...
Thank you. But they were waiting for that DOS joke. They didn't want a tunnel joke.
And then at one point, there has to be like some double entendres with mango lassies. It'll come to me later.
Were you going to do something? Were you going to do something with Lassie the dog and mango lassie in some way?
No, something like I guess there's Lass, like a young lady, and Lassie. I don't know.
Think because, you know, maybe you're trying to connect. I know what you may be trying to do, Dave, because they are software guys. You're trying to bring software into this as well.
Yeah, it's
so
tricky.
Maybe you're thinking of an app.
Okay. Everyone keeps talking about apps at this party, but I would settle for even just one vegetable samosa.
Yes!
Oh, man, I can't wait till the next year.
Brilliant.
Okay, how about this? The waiter asked me if I wanted a mango lassi. I said, mango? Any day whatsoever would be good at this point. I don't know if that makes sense. That's maybe not as strong as some of the others.
Well, I don't know, David. It's very strong for me. I can predict two Uncle things passing out in laughter. Just passing out.
Now, am I getting that right, that auntie is that's a common, you basically is any older female relative, or am I way off?
That is correct. No, you are not. That is absolutely correct. We basically, anyone older in India, we call them uncles and aunties. And I'll give you an example of why uncles and aunties, you know, it's supposed to be out of respect and a term of endearment. And a lot of people say, as you probably know, that Indian uncles and aunties, we apparently respect our elders more than other cultures. And Indian uncles and aunties are revered and respected. But I'll tell you one thing, David, there are some Indian uncles and aunties who are complete bastards.
I've heard this. Give me some examples. Wait, you have a dog?
Oh, no, that's just, this is India, David. That's just a crazy stray dog on the road.
Oh, so there's dogs run. I can't wait to come over there because I love dogs. You think I'm joking about coming, but I'm coming.
This room is ready for you, David. I've thrown out my family in the anticipation that you will come. What you were hearing was an authentic Indian stray dog. Basically, you know, dogs, India, we've always had stray dogs, but now they have free reign, right? Because the people are inside. So basically, really crowded Indian streets are just filled with shouting dogs.
Oh, that's kind of adorable. I mean, I guess I'm just seeing the bright side. Did you hear about the town in Wales that was overrun by goats?
That's every other day. That's my morning commute, Dave.
Is goats?
We've got it all. We've got goats. We've got dogs, cats, cows, of course.
Oh, yeah.
There's a cow I often drive past on my way to my local Starbucks. He often waits in front of the Starbucks. I'm missing him a lot.
It's the same cow every time?
Yes.
Oh, that would be kind of, oh man. Everything I'm hearing, it sounds like paradise to me. Because I love animals. dogs and goats are probably my top two. I love cows too. This is going to be great. And then
you're going to love it. You're going to love it. So, and if you like old people who are bastards,
I'm hoping to become one soon.
I mean, to give you this example, you know, because of this situation, everybody's going out and doing their shopping. Now, we were talking about uncles and aunties. I'm giving you an uncle and auntie example. I'm going to whisper this because they're my neighbors. But my uncle and auntie neighbors basically came up to me and said, listen, we're old. We can't really go shopping because we might die. Would you mind going and picking up these things for us? And I said, yeah, they're uncle and auntie. I'm supposed to respect them in Indian culture. So mm-hmm. I did it. And now I have to do it every other day. So I'm basically now their servant. I am domestic help.
Oh, my God. Wait, so... And this, but aren't you not supposed to go out? Like, you're supposed to go out like every 2 weeks or something, right? At most.
Well, exactly. I mean, they let us go shopping, and if people above 60, they're not allowing them to go out at all. But you know, I'm 59, so they're letting me go out for a little bit. But now. I was supposed to only go pick up groceries for myself, but now I've just become somebody's domestic help. I'm like a maid
because
I'm supposed to respect uncles and aunties, and this uncle and auntie have just inducted me into some sort of slave labor.
They're just taking... So, and are you related to them, actually, or they're just older people that live next door to you?
They're just my neighbors.
Oh, fuck that. No, you're doing... Wait, so, but you also, don't you have monsoon season is coming soon, right?
Yeah, so we're going to get the Indian summer, which is 3 months, we just started, and then we'll get the monsoons. And everyone thinks the virus is going to wash away, or they think the summer is going to kill the virus. So Indians think that the lockdown is going to end next Saturday. They're not reading anything or listening to any doctors or anything.
Oh, wow.
They just think it's a weather thing.
And it's scary because you guys are more than 1/6 of the world's population lives in India, right?
1.3 billion people, David. And
that's
the Prime Minister announced the lockdown. Yes. And he announced the lockdown with 4 hours notice. So 1.3 billion people had to go grocery shopping in 4 hours, which has to be the biggest grocery run on the planet.
Okay. We need to edit what I'm about to tell you. I'm going to edit this out of the podcast because it's a billion-dollar idea. You and I.
Okay. Yes.
We write a Bollywood musical about that afternoon when everyone went shopping. And we get
done. I think I have a title for it. Patel Stores.
Okay, I don't get it, but I know it's good. What does that mean?
So Patel is a very popular Indian last name, and Patel Stores is an actual grocery chain that exists for Indian food in the United States and in India. So it's kind of like a Kroger's.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That makes sense now. And then can we get, who's the Irish, I'm not saying her name right. She's a big star. Arishwara.
You want to get Aishwarya Rai to play the lead?
Yes.
Before she became a massive Bollywood actor, she used to be Miss World.
Well, she deserved it. She's beautiful. Do you know her? You're a celebrity.
She's married.
Oh, no. That's the worst. She's married?
She's married to a big Bollywood actor, and she's married into, like, a Bollywood royal family. It's almost like marrying into, like, the Michael Douglas family.
Oh, wow. So my odds are not good at all. Well, we can still have her in the movie.
But you have to try, David. You have to try.
Well, you know, I'll charm her on set of Patel Stores. And we should write ourselves you know, let's not get greedy and write big lead roles for ourselves, but we can write, like, you know, good supporting characters. Maybe there's a scene we're giving, we're telling jokes to Indian software executives, and I'm bombing really hard, which is totally obviously of complete fiction, because that would never happen. But, you know, that's maybe the scene where my character, Ronnie, is introduced. I don't have to be called Ronnie, but that's just what I'm thinking right now.
This is a great scene, David. Ronnie meets Aishwarya, and you're buying broccoli, and she's buying lentils, and you guys break into a West Side Story type song.
Oh, yeah, like we both put our hand on the same bag of lentils at the same time, and we both are tugging and tugging when that breaks out into a dance number. This is going to be good.
And maybe it's a packet of lassi lentils.
Is that a thing?
No, but we can make it a thing.
Wait, so lassi lentils would be lentils just dripping in yogurt?
It would be a disgusting thing. It does not exist, but we could make it happen.
I love this idea. So do you know her? I'm assuming you know all other celebrities in India.
David, she's a big Bollywood star. I do not personally know her, but I have, I work as a scriptwriter sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
To supplement my humongous comedy income.
Yeah. So you I know you have an in this world. Between my Indian...
I've worked with her husband a few times, including one time where he played the owner of a supermarket, Dave.
Oh, this is incredible. This is... We have to do this. Let's fast track it. This is exciting.
Can I write myself a small part where a short Indian man comes in and claims he's Alexander Hamilton, and then I can do a little speech from Hamilton?
Oh, this is... This is smart. This is how we get the American audience roped in. This is going to be amazing.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes, okay. Exactly.
Well, now, forgive my ignorance, but what language would this, our future hit Bollywood musical be in?
Well, we'd have to do it in Hindi, David, yeah. If you wanted an audience of 1.3 billion people.
Okay, let's do that then.
Look, I know your Hindi is excellent, but I'm not sure about Aishwarya Rai's Hindi, so you may have to coach her a little.
Wait, she doesn't speak Hindi?
She speaks Hindi because she's, of course, an Indian person who lives in India, but she's a posh Indian person. So upper middle class Indian people are much more comfortable in English. Not like you, Dave. Dave, you speak many languages. You're fluent in writing and reading Hindi. She may not be. So you may have to coach her in some of the lyrics and some of the Hindi songs.
Oh, wow. This is good to know. I think in Hindi quite a bit. In fact, but the whole time we've been talking, I think in Hindi and then I say it to you in English. I probably, yeah.
I mean, look, this is our real bond. I mean, your listeners may not know this, but we did a bunch of shows together in Scotland.
Yes.
And the first time we met, I think I turned to you. I looked at you and said, are you the famous comedian Dave Hill? And I don't mean to be rude or a fan, but I just want to ask, were you just in Hindi? And you said yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then I told you one of my famous auntie jokes.
Exactly, which I hope to use on the family that I work as domestic help for. Sorry to interrupt. I just have a quick question because it's coming up in 15 minutes, and I want you to know. I want to know as a sort of global observer and an expert on global things, what do you think of this? The Prime Minister of India, in another one of his stage managed events, in is basically asking the entire country in 15 minutes to shut off all their lights, go to their balconies, and light a little candle. This seems to be our current measure to get rid of coronavirus. I want you to know, I want to know what you think of this. The concerns from the general sane public seem to suggest, A, it's a crazy idea. B, some people might set their house on fire. C, the electric surge of lights being shut off and coming on again may blow the power grid. This is about to happen in 15 minutes, David. I just want to know what you think.
Well, first, before I even address that, I think it's pretty an elaborate excuse to try to end this podcast in 15 minutes. But, you know, whatever. I don't know. It strikes me as a nice, I think the photos will look really good. Like, I'm sure I'll go on, you know, New York Times or Guardian website tomorrow and they'll have some amazing photos of this disaster. But I think it'll be nice. It strikes me as maybe a risky prospect for all the reasons you mentioned. And additionally, people throwing urine. I got to go back to that again. In fact, I don't want to fill your head. Are you going to turn off all the lights and go on the balcony and with a candle?
I'm hoping not to, Dave, but I don't think I'll have a choice because I feel in about 5 or 7 minutes, the electricity department is just going to shut off all our lights. So wait. This is patriotism by force, I think.
Oh, so they're not telling you to turn off the lights. They're shutting off all the power?
Well, basically, the Prime Minister has said it would be nice if you did this. But the electricity board messaged everybody saying, listen, if all of you shut off all your lights at random times, if 1.3 billion people shut off all the electricity and then put it on again, no power grid in the world would be able to handle it. So we might just shut off electricity on behalf of you in a phased manner. So I don't even know what's going to happen it's not even 15 anymore, in like 10 minutes.
Okay. Promise me, well, I was trying to tell you, email me when you can and give me an update of how this, I'm sure I'll be able to read about it. The exciting thing is I'll be able to read about it later today here in America because it's only 10:47 a.m. right now while we're talking. You know what? As always, I'm being selfish, but it's just one more reason I wish I were hanging out in your apartment in Mumbai right now to be around for this.
How nice would it have been, Dave, if it was just you, me, some candles, some goats, my Starbucks cow, and some stray dogs just outside my apartment watching a million people just light their candles. How nice would that be while a stray dog was barking like you heard 20 minutes ago?
I'd get us like a case of Kingfisher or Taj Mahal or something. Are those popular beers there, or is that what they just tell us in America?
They are indeed very popular. Dave, you figured this out. You have your pulse on the hipster Mumbai culture.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, it's.
I have one last question before my refrigerator explodes, thanks to the Prime Minister. I just want to know what you think, David, of a country and a prime minister that thinks it's a good idea to make viral videos as a way to fight the virus.
I mean, pretty much anything that you say about your prime minister when you compare it to the idiot in charge over here, it all sounds like a good idea. I mean, yesterday Trump was talking about, I don't know if you read about this, but he was talking about the models that he was presented with, like the models of how this virus is going to play out and how many people are going to die and all this. And he starts talking about, you know, he keeps saying the word models, and he didn't have anything to do with these models. And then he said, he made some joke, like, at least, I mean, not this kind of model, like alluding to his, you know, paid relationships with models and the, you know, his paid wife and all that. We just have it. Your guy sounds great, is my point, compared to the idiot we have over here.
So, David, are you saying he's making dad jokes from the late 70s as a way to battle the pandemic?
Oh, yeah. On a good day, I mean, that's pretty much... just an unfathomable idiot. I mean, as anyone knows anything about me knows... I've never been a fan of his, but he just outdoes himself in being a complete bag of dog shit. And that's, I don't mean to insult dog shit, but you know what I think? When this is all over, between your guy and our guy over here, we should, and I'm being serious here, how cool would it be if we just moved to Glasgow? I think that's the funnest town.
I think that's the only answer, David. Listen, I barely speak English, and I feel really comfortable in Glasgow because, you know, my English has never been very good, and so
what do you say? Your English is
I can
perfect.
Sort of understand them. They can sort of.
Oh
well,
yeah.
You know, I'm not so sure. Like, but in Glasgow, I feel at home because, you know, we both speak a variation of the English that sort of Britain knows and you know. I feel at home there.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing when you talk. I mean, I remember talking to someone over there, and I would have to replay what they just said in my head and really think about it. And then I'd be like, I think they were talking about dogs just then. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's very tricky. And then when you factor in the fact that I was thinking it in Hindi, it's an, you know, the delay is...
Yes.
Well, Anubhav, I should probably give you at least a couple minutes to prepare for this massive disaster that's about to happen in your country.
Thank you, David. My main concern is that I need to unplug my refrigerator because if there's a huge surge, it might burst, and I don't want the tandoori chicken I've kept in the refrigerator just for you to go bad before you come.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll let you go and deal with that, and then you promise me you'll come back and do another episode because we've just scratched the surface.
Listen, it'll be a pleasure and an honor. I will not be in my house. I'll be in a bunker with some oil and a lamp, but we'll do it from there.
Perfect. Okay. All right, well, I'll let you go. I'll look on the news to see how this goes for you over there today or tonight. And thank you. And send me the audio that you recorded on your phone when you get a chance.
Will do. I miss you. Stay safe.
And, I miss you too.
I know your fans can't see this, but you're sitting in front of a world map.
I am.
Assume you're planning your escape the moment this ends.
I'm heading to India. I don't know if you can see.
Yeah. That's your bedroom right there. It's waiting.
Oh, I can't wait. All right. Thank you, Anubhav. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, brother.
Bye-bye. And there you have it, my delightful conversation with Anubhav Pal, who is one of the funniest guys I've ever known and one of the nicest guys I've ever known. And he's going to let me come stay in his house for a really long time when this whole coronavirus thing is over. So I look forward to that. And before we go, I know this, we might as well just put it out there. Why not support us on Patreon? Go to patreon.com/Dave Hill. Help us keep gas in the tank. I know everyone's kind of stretched to their limit right now, so if you can't, we totally get it. And thanks to our friends at Maximum Fun, of course. for having us be a part of their empire. And if I can beg you to do other things, please go on Pandora today and stream entirely free of charge my new album, my new stand-up comedy album featuring the live backing band at various points, The Pride of Cleveland, which will be out April 24th on 800 Pound Gorilla Records.